ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. హరే కృష్ణ. టుడే మార్నింగ్ వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 4 చాప్టర్ 28. చాప్టర్ ఇస్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ పురంజన్ బికమ్స్ అ వూమన్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ లైఫ్. టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 63. యథా పురుష ఆత్మానం ఏకం ఆదర్శ చక్షుషో ద్విధా భూతం అవేక్షేత తథేవాంతరం ఆవయో. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శిలాభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శిల ప్రభుపాద్. శిల ప్రభుపాద్ కి ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. యాజ్ అ పర్సన్ సీజ్ ద రిఫ్లెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ బాడీ ఇన్ అ మిర్రర్ టు బి వన్ విత్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ నాట్ డిఫరెంట్, whereas others actually see two bodies, so in our material condition in which the living being is affected and yet not affected, there is a difference between God and the living entity. Purport. Being affected by the conditioning of matter, Mayavadi philosophers cannot see the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entity. When the sun is reflected in a pot of water, the sun knows that there is no difference between himself and the reflected sun in the water. Those in ignorance, however, perceive that there are many small suns reflected in each and every pot. As far as the brilliance is concerned, there is brilliance both in the original sun and in the reflections. But the reflections are small, whereas the original sun is very large. Vaishnava philosophers conclude that the living entity is simply a small sample of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Qualitatively, God and the living entities are one. But quantitatively, the living entities are small fragments of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is full, powerful and opulent. In the previous verse, the Lord says, "My dear friend, you and I are not different." This non-difference refers to qualitative oneness. For it was not necessary for the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality, to remind the conditioned soul that he is not one in quantity. The self-realized soul never thinks that he and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one in every respect. Although he and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one in quality, the living entity is prone to forget his spiritual identity, whereas the Supreme Personality never forgets. This is the difference between lipta and alipta. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally alipta, uncontaminated by the external energy. The conditioned soul, however, being in contact with material nature, forgets his real identity. Therefore, when he sees himself in the conditioned state, he identifies himself with the body. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, there is no difference between the body and the soul. He is completely soul. He has no material body. Although the super soul, Paramatma, and the individual soul are both within the body, the super soul is devoid of designation. Whereas the conditioned soul is designated by his particular type of body. The super soul is called Antaryami and he is extensive. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13.3. Kshetradnyam chapi mam viddi sarva kshetreshu bharata. O skin of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. The super soul is present in everyone's body, whereas the individual soul is conditioned in one particular type of body. The individual soul cannot understand what is taking place in another's body, but the super soul knows very well what is happening in all bodies. In other words, the super soul is always present in his full spiritual position, whereas the individual soul is prone to forget himself. Nor is the individual soul present everywhere. Generally, in his conditioned state, the individual soul cannot understand his relationship with the super soul. But sometimes, when he is free from all conditional existence, he can see the real difference between the super soul and himself. When the super soul tells the conditioned soul, "You and I are one and the same," it is to remind the conditioned soul of his spiritual identity as being qualitatively one. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 328.40, it is said, Yathol mukhad vipulingat dhumadvapi swasambhavat api atmavenabhimatat yathagni pritham ulmukat. Fire has different features. There is flame, the sparks and the smoke. Although these are one in quality, there is still a difference between the fire, the flame, the spark and the smoke. The living entity becomes conditioned, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is different because he does not become conditioned at any point. In the Vedas it is stated, Atma tatha prathak drishtva Bhagavan Brahma samnita. Atma is the individual soul as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of everything. Although both are spirit, there is always a difference. In the Smriti it is also said, Yathagne khudra vispulinga vyacharanti. Just as sparks manifest in a large fire, similarly the small individual souls are present in the big spiritual flame. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Lord Krishna says, Matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshavastitah. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Although all the living beings are resting in him, as small fiery sparks rest on a large flame, both are differently situated. Similarly, in the Vishnu Puran it is said, Ekadesha sthite yagner jyotsna vistarini yatha parasya brahmana shaktis tathedam akhilam jagat. Fire is situated in one place, but it distributes heat and light. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is distributing his energies in different ways. The living entity is but one of these energies, marginal energy. The energy and the energetic are one in one sense, but they are differently situated as energy and the energetic. Similarly, the Sachidananda form confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Ishvarah Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha, is different from that of the living entity in both his conditioned and liberated states. Only atheists consider the living entity and the personality of Godhead equal in all respects. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Mayavadi bhasha sunile hoy sarvanash. If one follows the instructions of Mayavadi philosophers and believes that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual soul are one, his understanding of real philosophy is forever doomed. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, such a huge purport. Hare Krishna. So whenever Srila Prabhupada gets an opportunity to smash the Mayavadi philosophers, he immediately avails that opportunity. And we can see two and a half page purport Srila Prabhupada is giving. Although we are at fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, so according to Srila Prabhupada, which he mentions in the early parts and early chapters of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that one should gradually grow in his reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. He cannot directly jump to the 10th canto. He should go stepwise, first canto, second canto, third, fourth, like that. So we are at fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and ideally speaking, one should be quite elevated by the time he comes to reading the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But still, Srila Prabhupada is taking full advantage of the opportunity to establish this principle of how God and the living entity are differently situated. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Lalita Vishakha Shila Gaur Nitai Bhagwan Ki Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We see Shila Prabhupada still very happily, with a great delight, giving an elaborate purport on this conception which he wants to clarify for us. And very explicitly, so many quotations Srila Prabhupada has quoted in this beautiful purport, just to drive this concept of how there is a difference between God and the living entity. How God is Vibhu, unlimited, and how living entity is Anu, small, insignificant. And it's a very, very important and valid for Srila Prabhupada to do, because his spiritual master was taking great delight in smashing the Mayavadi people. He was known for his as a Simha Guru, lion personality. So naturally, Srila Prabhupada, being a very faithful, devoted servant of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he never loses an opportunity to glorify his spiritual master and his mission. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is doing in this purport. He is glorifying his spiritual master and the mission he wanted to establish. Because material world is a place where we find contamination in all respects, in every aspects. There is a contamination in the material world. And naturally, there will be contamination in understanding the Supreme Lord. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is taking a privilege to elaborately go on discussing this aspect of how the Supreme Lord or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is different from the living entity. Many places in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada picks up this concept and he elaborately explains. Especially if we read the second chapter in initial verses, like verse number 12, 13, where Krishna begins to talk about soul and goes ahead in elaborately discussing about the characteristics of the soul. There, Prabhupada again brings out this Mayavadi philosophy. Here also Srila Prabhupada mentions that Mayavadi philosophers, they fall in the category of Mayaya Aparata Jnana. Their knowledge has been stolen away by the illusory energy. Mayaya Aparata Jnana. Such people, they don't surrender, as Bhagavad Gita Krishna explains, that four types of people don't surrender unto the Lord. So one of them is Mayaya Aparata Jnana. They don't surrender to Krishna. And the basic misconception which every living entity is possessed by in the material world is by thinking himself to be body, he wants to lord it over the material nature. He wants to become the proprietor, become the enjoyer, become the controller, or become the maintainer, which actually Lord is. So this is a very basic fundamental misconception the living entity possesses when he is in the material world, when he is in the conditioned platform. And therefore, naturally he derides, or he doesn't want to deal with the supreme proprietor, the supreme controller, the supreme maintainer, supreme enjoyer. Because then he feels a problem. Because two people, when they are enjoyers, there will be rivalry, there will be competition, there will be fight. So therefore, a conditioned soul, he doesn't want to deal with the subject matter of God. Because as soon as God is the topic, God comes, immediately his greatness is glorified. And he doesn't feel good about it. Because he wants to be great. He wants to be the proprietor. He wants to be the enjoyer. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is giving so much of stress in this purport, very elaborately clarifying the concept. One of the arguments, common arguments the Mayavadis, they speak, is that Krishna is also a conditioned soul like all of us. And when we get liberated from this world, then we become free from this illusory energy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, in order to argue back, he mentions, how is it possible that someone who is under the control of illusory energy has a power to disseminate or delineate true knowledge which can help one to get out of the illusory energy? How is it possible? And Prabhupada mentions, if Krishna is something like who is under illusory energy of the Lord, then his Bhagavad Gita has no value. Because how can a person who is illusioned himself will give a knowledge, transcendental knowledge, to uplift someone from illusory energy? It's not possible. And to give a very beautiful example to illustrate this concept, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a jail in charge. A person who is authority of the jail, just to oversee the affairs or the activities which is happening in the jail, he has to go inside the jail, go inside even the lockups and oversee things. So by seeing him in the jail, someone who is not very intelligent may think he is also maybe one of the criminals. Because he has happened to be inside the jail. But one who is in knowledge, he understands, no, he is not one of the criminals. Because he has the freedom, whenever he wants, he can enter into jail. And he has a freedom, whenever he wants, he can come out of the jail. But that freedom is not there who are actually in the jail. They don't have such a freedom. But this who is authority of the jail, he has a freedom. Whenever he wants, he can enter. Whenever he wants, he can withdraw. He can come out. And such a facility is not there with the living entities. And that's how, although the Supreme Lord very mercifully comes to this world time to time by his own free will, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita as Atma Maya, by his own internal potency he comes to this material world, he is not one of us. He is completely different. He is completely beyond this material laws or material bindings. He is completely beyond that. And this is very important aspect to understand. The living entity finds it very difficult to accept his subordinate position because of being contaminated, having long association in the material world. He finds it very difficult to accept that he is subordinate, he is small, he is lesser. Very difficult. Because, and especially if someone is materially successful in some ways, in some aspects, he finds it very difficult to make himself lower or subordinate. Because in spiritual life, when we enter, we understand that the constitutional position of the living entity is, he is eternally servant of Krishna. And servant of Krishna, it indicates that he is happy to serve all the time, in all circumstances. And this is a very difficult thing. Under all circumstances and all times, to be a servant is very difficult. Even greatly learned people, personalities who are very well learned in the Vedic literatures, they also find it very difficult to be always a servant, to be always having a lesser position. It's very, very difficult because of the conditioned nature of trying to lord it over material nature. He finds it very difficult. We hear so many pastimes, like the famous pastime of Govardhan Leela is a representative of this concept, how Indra, being the Lord of the heavens, Lord of the rains, he was very much puffed up. And he thought that I am beyond somebody, or there is nobody beyond me. And therefore Lord Krishna, he performed a very simple pastime of lifting a Govardhan, because for Lord lifting a Govardhan is not a very difficult thing. He is already as a mere small expansion of Ananta Shesh, he is holding the universes, which is like a mustard seed size for him. So it's not a very difficult thing for Lord to lift a Govardhan in that condition, in that situation. So Lord performs that pastime just to crush that ego, that pride of Indra, thinking that I am something. So Lord performs such pastimes for his devotees so that they can always remain in a humble position. Because Lord loves humble devotees. Whenever Lord sees a pride in the heart of a devotee, he doesn't like that. And similarly, we hear one very beautiful pastime comes in the life of Ramanujacharya. There was a great learned disciple of Ramanujacharya. His name was Kuresh. One time, one of the lady disciples of Ramanujacharya came to Ramanujacharya explaining that my life has become very difficult. My in-laws, they are troubling me so much. They make me work so hard throughout the day. Not only that, I have to go all the way long distance walking
in a hot sun and bring water from long distance. So my life is very much troubled. I don't know what to do. Please help me. She begged help from Ramanujacharya. And that was the incident when this great and learned scholar, he was approaching his spiritual master, asking him to give a very elaborate and intimate explanation for the famous verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 18.66, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So he was asking that, Ramanujacharya, kindly please explain me this verse. And that time this lady came with a problem for Ramanujacharya for a solution. So Ramanujacharya, after thinking for a while, he mentioned, okay, I will arrange one servant for you. And he looked at Kuresha, who just now asked a question about, please explain me the deep meaning of this Sarva Dharman verse. He looked at him and said, here is a servant for you. Take him to your home and whatever work you will tell him, he will do it. And Kuresha was like shocked because he never expected such a thing to happen with him. But his spiritual master has instructed him that, you know, you are a servant now, you go and serve this lady, whatever she orders, you have to fulfill that. And he kindly accepted that order of his Guru Maharaj and he walked with that lady and lady was very happy. I got one servant. Now my life will be much easier. And Kuresha went that very simple village she was living and then he was working very hard all throughout the day, washing pots, washing clothes, going and bringing water, sometimes collecting woods from the forest. All hard labor work he was doing. That was instruction. And he was doing quite some time. A few months went by. He was doing that service. And Ramanujacharya, he is a world acharya. He was traveling, busy, preaching. And he did not, you know, contact again that disciple of his to ask how he is, what he is doing. Nothing. There was no communication, no contact. And that lady was very happy. It so happened that one day some devotee came to that village and he was giving a presentation on some topic. And having some time, this Kuresha, he was very happy that, oh, somebody has come to talk about God, discuss about Krishna. So he was eager to hear because he was a devotee. He was eager to hear. So he also sat in one of the places in the whole assembly of the crowd of the villagers who assembled there. And when this devotee was speaking, because he was not very conversant, well-versed, and there was some discrepancies in the conceptions which he was having about the Supreme Lord. And in his explanations, there were some discrepancies. So he noticed, and Kuresha, being a very learned scholar, he could immediately catch the discrepancies. But he was thinking, you know, whether to put forward his arguments or not, because if he put forwards, now naturally everyone will look at him. Hey, he's a servant, serving and washing pots and all. How is it that he is speaking such a high philosophy of the Vedanta? How he is giving explanation, they will be surprised. Surely they will notice it very. And the purpose or the instruction which was given to Ramanujacharya was he was just supposed to serve there. There was no other instruction for him. So he was in a dilemma, but he felt in his heart that no, so many innocent people, you know, they are getting wrong conceptions about God. And this is not good. Krishna will not be happy to see me just, you know, go on hearing these misconceptions being preached. So let me say. So he raised his hand and he asked a question saying that, my dear sir, please excuse me, but the concept which you are just mentioning is not like that. The real understanding is like this. So he gave an explanation and quoted one or two verses. And all the villagers, they were looking at, you know, this person, this servant, who was not very properly dressed, not very clean also because of hard work. Everyone was looking and they were awestruck. And this person who was speaking, he was also awestruck. He was thinking, my God, who is this person? He is giving such wonderful explanations. So all the villagers, after the program was over, they went to this Kuresha. And they were asking, after hearing you, we can understand that you are not an ordinary person. Please tell us, who are you? Then with great hesitation, he revealed that he is a disciple of Ramanujacharya named Kuresha. And when people heard the name Kuresh, because they have heard this name previously also, because Kuresha was a great learned scholar, exalted devotee of the Lord. And when they heard this name Kuresha, they were amazed and shocked. And they said, Kuresha, you are great learned scholar. What you are doing in our village, doing menial work for this lady? They thought it is not proper. Let us go to Ramanujacharya. And all the villagers, they went to Ramanujacharya with Kuresha. And then they explained that, please Ramanujacharya, he is such an exalted devotee, why he should be doing such a menial work at this lady's house? And they were asking. And Ramanujacharya, he was very happy to hear how there was no complaint for Kuresha, but everyone was very happy and they wanted him to be resituated as a greatly learned scholar and give presentations and discourses to one and all for their benefits. So he was very happy. So he said, okay, I will keep him with me. And he kept him with himself. And then he started giving explanation about that verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, to Kuresha. Ramanujacharya could have given the explanation in the very first time. What is the difficulty for Ramanujacharya to give an explanation for this verse? He is an acharya. He is practically, he is the incarnation of the Ananta. So, there is no difficulty. But, he wanted Kuresha to learn a very valuable quality in his life. And that was the quality of humility. He wanted him to be a humble servant, humble menial servant. And that's what attracts or gives one realization of what is the purport of the word Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Otherwise, maybe probably one will have an intellectual understanding of what is Sarva Dharman Parityajya mean, but he will not have realization of that verse. And that's the gift of the spiritual master for the disciple. The spiritual master is always looking for an opportunity to give transcendental realizations to his disciple. And for that, he uses the via media of instructions. Through instructions, the spiritual master is actually making the disciple humble. And that's what Krishna explains as the first word when he talks about what is true knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. The four verses, continuous verses 8 to 12, the 13th chapter. He explains what is knowledge. Generally our concept of knowledge is knowledge means some knowledge, information and some concepts, some ideas like that. But when Krishna talks about knowledge, he talks about qualities. Qualities are real knowledge. And he begins with amanitvam, adhamvittam, ahimsa, kshanti, marjavam. One by one he goes on explaining the qualities. Different words, qualities he mentions. That's what is knowledge, he says. There is nothing more than that. So knowledge means qualities. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini. There also, when the word Vidya is coming, immediately Vinaya is attached to it. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne. Sampanne means to possess or to have. So when one has knowledge, he has Vinaya. He has humility. If he doesn't have humility, that means he doesn't have knowledge. knowledge means vidya. Vidya means realized realized knowledge, not just bookish knowledge. So this vinaya, humility, to accept one's subordinate position, to accept oneself as a humble servant, is what qualifies one to actually get realizations in his life about the spiritual subject matter. For a person who is bigger, it's very difficult for him to bend down. Very difficult. As the tree grows, it's difficult for him to bend down. When the tree is very small, tender, it's very easy to bend down. Similarly, when we come to devotional service, it's easy to bend down because we don't know much. Everyone knows much, more than us. So we naturally feel, maybe I'm doing some mistake, maybe let me ask somebody how to do this, how to do that. But once one comes to know how to do certain things in the service of the Lord, one tends to remain, you know, high and straight. He doesn't want to bend down. And especially when some menial service is given to such a person, he finds a great resistance in his heart to do that menial service. He feels, oh, why should I do this menial service? I am in the movement for such a long time. I am such a learned devotee. If you want, tell me to give class, I will give class. But why you are telling me to do this small service? It doesn't befit my personality or my image. So something like this, thoughts, you know, are seen in the mind of a devotee. But this is not a sign of a progressive devotee. A progressive devotee, he becomes more and more humble. He feels himself and he acts as a servant for others. And that's what we see when great devotees, we see they are always humble. They are always in the mood to serve. And this is what qualifies one to be a subordinate, eternal servant of the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead. So this disease is very much there, and the solution is given by the spiritual master in the form of his all benedictory instructions. So therefore, for a disciple, if he wants realization in his heart to dwell, so that the nishayans which is there within his heart will be dispelled, will be given away or thrown away, it is very important for one to very diligently and very sincerely follow the instructions given by the spiritual masters. And then one can see these beautiful jewel-like realizations of different principles which are mentioned in the scriptures will dawn in our heart. We can see that realization coming up. Because Srila Prabhupada's all purports are filled with realization. To the degree we develop that service mood, to that degree we can go deep in the Prabhupada's purports. Otherwise, we can just see it externally as a knowledge transferring subject matter. And we will hardly be benefited from this. So, Srila Prabhupada herein gives such a great explanation, or gives such a great length of explanation for this beautiful concept, how the Supreme Lord is different and the living entity is different. Although they are same in quality, but there is a quantitative difference. Thank you all very much for your kind patience. Is there any comment, any question? Yeah. Mine.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Actually, yeah, Hare Krishna. Sorry, that was not actually Kuresh.
Acha.
That was Dasharath.
Oh, Dasharath.
Yeah, yeah.
Acha. Sorry for the mis understanding the name. Dasharathi. Thank you for that.
And another thing, like those are Mayavadi, they say that like this this building is made of brick. So if you take out the whole bricks, then what is the existence of this building? So they say that, yeah, the living entity has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then if living entities are separated, then what is the existence of God?
Yeah, they also give example of a paper. If you cut the paper into small, small pieces, then paper no longer exists. Only pieces are existing, scattered everywhere. So they think that the Supreme Lord is a whole, and now he has bifurcated into so many living entities, and now his existence is not there. And we all, when we get liberated from this world, will go and form again that supreme whole. Something like that. So, Srila Prabhupada explains this is because of the poor fund of knowledge. They think in this manner. Because Krishna very clearly explains the nature of spirit. In the very beginning only he explains that the nature of the spirit soul is, he is not cleavageable. You cannot cut. Nainam chindanti shastrani. The spirit soul is never cut. Then one may understand how we are part and parcel of Krishna then. Because part and parcel means there should be cutting somewhere, na? Then otherwise how can we be part of Krishna? But a very significant word Krishna uses when he is explaining this concept. He says, Sanatana mam eva amsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. For all time to come, we are eternally fragmental part and parcel of Krishna. So, when they talk about time, that one point of time we were one and then the whole was disintegrated into parts. When the concept of time is talked, we have to understand this is in the mundane world. Because in the spiritual world, there is no time existing. So, we are eternally existing as part and parcel of Krishna. That's the explanation Lord Krishna himself gives in Bhagavad Gita, that we are eternally separated part and parcel of Krishna. Now, after being eternally separated part and parcel of Krishna, there is no question of cleavage, because that's against the characteristics of the soul. The characteristics of the soul is, he cannot be changed, he cannot be cut, he cannot be withered away. There is no changeable, it's not changeable. It's always the same. So, problem in understanding or accepting that Krishna is individual and I am individual is basically the envy. Envy for Krishna. So therefore, although such a simple concept is there, like Krishna, Prabhupada explains, like in this also Prabhupada is explaining that God is present in everyone's body. He knows about all bodies, but we individual beings, we know only about our body, and that too not fully. We are not aware how we digest our own food. It's not possible. So, naturally, we have limitations, but the Lord very clearly explains that He has no limitations like this. He is beyond such limitations. He is all powerful. He can manipulate and arrange everything very easily. So these explanations give us an understanding that the concept what Mayavadis are talking about, that the whole was there, because they are basically dealing with energy. They are finding it difficult to understand the idea of energetic, who controls the energy. They have difficulty in appreciating this energetic concept. They deal with only energy, energy, energy everywhere, because everything is energy in the material world. And although living entity is having some ability to control material energy to some slight degree, but still this concept doesn't go in their head that there is an energetic who controls the energy, who manipulates the energy. They have difficulty in appreciating that aspect. But Prabhupada gives very simple, simple explanations to understand that there is an energetic who is beyond energy. So what they are talking about, the whole as an energy, that is a true concept, because Krishna says that absolute truth is present in three features. One is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So if somebody accepts as a Brahman feature of God or absolute truth, it is true, but Krishna explains and Prabhupada explains that it is incomplete understanding. So if they are saying that there is a whole and from there we have come, the whole concept as a Brahman is a true concept. But the understanding that we go and join that Brahman, that's not appreciated. And Srimad Bhagavatam also explains how when the living entity who gets impersonal liberation merges into that Brahman, he falls down because he finds it boring there, being in the light, nothing to do. And being a jiva who is Ananda Mayobhyasad, who is always eager for happiness, he finds it difficult to be there, he falls down again into this material world. So there are many verses and explanations in different ways and different scriptures to give an understanding that how that concept that whole is there and which is disintegrated is a false concept.
But they also accept Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam, because whole means it doesn't mean there's only anarchy. They also accept that for whole means God also.
Yeah, but their understanding of God is impersonal. They think that God means energy. They are not saying God means energetic. They don't say that. When they say God, they say energy only. That is their idea. And that's wrong. Prabhupada has established very clearly that there is an energetic. There is a controller who controls the energy. That they have difficulty. Already time is over. Maybe we can take personally this question, okay, if you don't mind.
I don't mind, but I was just very inspired by this topic and by Srila Prabhupada's books. And in this regard, I wrote a short song. Maybe I would, would like to hear it. I could present it here.
Because devotees, they have to go for prasadam.
Oh, if you don't want to hear, I can do it some other time.
You can tell me, I will hear.
I can tell you one or?
Yeah, you can tell me. Because already time is over for us, for all the devotees. They have services also. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Jitai Gaur Premanande.